Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking an old-school DNB top loop and stretching it into a warm, tape-style grit riser inside Ableton Live 12. This is one of those moves that instantly gives your track more jungle DNA, more tension, and way more attitude without having to lean on the usual generic noise sweep stuff. The basic idea is simple, but the execution is where it gets good. We're not just making the loop longer, we are preserving its rhythmic identity, then smearing it into a transitional texture that feels like it's been bounced through old hardware, worn tape, and a slightly dusty dub chain. That kind of character is perfect for risers, pre-drop builds, breakdown bridges, and those classic 1-4 bar moments where the arrangement needs to breathe, then hit hard. First thing, choose the right source loop. You want an old-school top loop with strong hats, ghost notes, shuffle, and maybe a snare presence that still reads clearly when stretched. Try to avoid loops with too much kick or low-end bleed, because in drum and bass, the low end is sacred. If the loop is already bright and crunchy, that can work too, but the magic is in finding something with real rhythmic personality. Drop the loop into Ableton and set your project tempo to your target DNB range, usually somewhere around 172 to 176 BPM. If the loop originally lived around 160 to 170 BPM, that's often a really nice starting point. Turn warp on. Now, for the warp mode, this is where you make a creative decision. If you want smoother stretching, Complex Pro can work really well. If you want that slightly chopped, gritty drum feel, Beats mode is often better. Honestly, for this kind of DNB texture, a bit of roughness is not a mistake. It's part of the vibe. If you use Beats mode, experiment with preserve transients around 1/16 or 1/32 to keep the hit structure sharper. If you use Complex Pro, keep the formants close to zero or just slightly up, and use a moderate envelope setting so the loop doesn't get weirdly flat. The main thing is not to iron out the groove. If the source loop has swing, let it breathe. Don't overcorrect it into something sterile. Now, before we stretch anything too far, look for the strongest 1-bar or 2-bar phrase. You're not trying to preserve every single hit. You're looking for the section that best represents the loop's identity. The bounce matters more than perfection. This is a good place to think like a teacher and like a producer at the same time. Ask yourself, which hits define the character, and which ones can smear a little without losing the idea. If you want to work more advanced, make two versions. One version that stays a little tighter and more rhythmic for the early part of the riser, and another version that's more degraded or smeared for the final bar before the drop. That contrast is powerful in DNB. A build that evolves in tone feels much more alive than one that just repeats the same stretched loop all the way through. Now stretch the loop across the phrase length you actually want. In DNB, that's usually 1, 2, or 4 bars. A classic move is taking a 1-bar loop and stretching it into 2 or 4 bars so the microgroove becomes a long, pulling texture. If you're arranging in a 16-bar intro, you might bring the loop in subtly around bar 9, then let it build toward the drop across bars 13 to 16. That gives you a clean tension arc and keeps the arrangement DJ-friendly. Once the clip is in place, shape the tone before you add grit. Insert EQ8 and clean out the low end first. A high pass somewhere around 180 to 350 Hz is usually a good starting point, depending on the material. If the stretched hats get sharp, pull a little out around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. If you need extra air, a gentle lift around 7 to 10 kHz can help, but be careful. We're going for usable energy, not brittle top-end glare. This is an important production mindset. If the loop is going to sit over kick and sub drop, it has to know its job. It's a transition layer, not the main event. Keep the low mids controlled so the bass can own the floor when the drop arrives. Now for the fun part. Adding warm, tape-style grit. Ableton Saturator is great here. Start with analog clip or soft sign, and push the drive somewhere around +2 to +7 dB. Turn soft clip on, and use thin output to match the level back down so you're hearing the character, not just hearing it louder. If the hats start getting too spitty, back off the drive and consider doing the distortion in parallel instead. That parallel move is seriously useful. Duplicate the track, saturate the copy harder, and blend it underneath the cleaner version. That way, you get density and age, but you still preserve the transient shape. A 70/30 blend of clean to grit is often enough to make it feel like it's coming off an old tape machine without turning it into mush. Next, give the loop some transitional depth with echo or simple delay. You don't want an obvious delay rhythm here. You want a short, filtered bloom that helps the stretched loop spill into the next section. Try a time of 1/8 or 1/16. Keep feedback modest, and high pass the repeat so they don't clutter the low end. A little modulation can add wobble, which is great if you're chasing that worn tape illusion. Put the delay after saturation if you want the repeats to inherit the harmonics. That's a subtle move, but it matters. It makes the echoes feel like part of the same degraded chain instead of a separate clean effect pasted on top. Keep the dry slash wet low at first, then automate it up in the final bar or two before the drop. Then kill it right on impact. You can also add a tiny amount of reverb, but keep it controlled. DNB transitions usually hit harder when they're focused rather than washed out. Think pressure, not fog. A small space can add dimension, but too much reverb turns your riser into a cloud that steals punch from the draw. Now let's make it move. Use auto filter to create the rise. A low pass or band pass can work really well. Start with a cutoff relatively low, maybe around 1.5 to 4 kHz, then automate it upward to something like 10 to 16 kHz by the end of the phrase. A bit of resonance helps the sweep feel intentional and focused. If you want a darker or more unstable feel, add a tiny amount of frequency shifter movement. We're talking very subtle movement here, just enough to create drift and unease. It should feel like a deteriorating reel or a slightly warped playback path, not a sci-fi effect. That kind of imperfection is gold in darker DNB, especially in intros and rollers where instability creates tension. At this point, listen carefully to the transient hierarchy. Not every hit needs to survive equally. Usually, the hats can blur a bit, but the snare ghosts and accent hits should still be readable. If everything gets equally soft, the riser loses its purpose. The listener needs to hear some drum DNA in there, even as it stretches into texture. Once the chain feels good, resample it. This is one of the smartest advanced moves in Ableton Live 12. Record the result onto a new audio track, or freeze and flatten if that suits your workflow. Resampling turns a live effects chain into editable audio, which gives you much more control for arrangement. After resampling, trim the tail so the riser lands cleanly on the drop. Add fades if needed to avoid clicks. If you want more drama, reverse a tiny segment near the end for a sucking pre-hit effect. You can even chop the resampled audio into a few sections and resequence them with small automation changes. That gives you a more engineered transition, not just a stretched file sitting there doing one thing. If you're working with a bigger transition section, route the riser into a drum or FX group and glue it gently with the rest of the build elements. A little glue compressor can make the whole thing feel like one event. Keep it light though. This is not about smashing dynamics. It's about cohesion. Around 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction is often plenty. Arrangement is where this really becomes a DNB move instead of just a sound design exercise. Don't let the riser overstay its welcome. The best transitions are often short, precise, and a little ruthless. You want the loop to end exactly where the kick and sub return, or even a hair early if the drop needs more punch. A really effective structure is a 4-bar intro where the loop enters subtly in bar 3, then builds more obviously into the drop, or a 2-bar pre-drop where the final bar gets the heaviest automation. You can also use it as a 1-bar final tension burst before a hard drop. In rollers especially, the space after the riser matters just as much as the riser itself. That moment of absence makes the impact feel bigger. Here's a pro tip. Treat the loop like a performance, not just an FX source. If the phrase has a nice internal bounce, let the warp engine play that bounce across time. Don't scrub away all the personality. The strongest results usually come from preserving the source's attitude, then letting the processing exaggerate it. Also, think about which emotional direction you want before you start stacking effects. Do you want it to feel nostalgic and dusty? Unstable and warped, aggressive and forward, dubby and spacious. Pick one main emotional lane. If you try to make one clip do all of those things at once, it usually ends up unfocused. Another strong variation is splitting the riser into 3 energy zones. Keep the early section cleaner and more rhythmic. Make the middle section wider, darker, and slightly degraded. Then make the final section brightest and most compressed. That creates a much clearer feeling of climb without needing a giant automation list. You can also create a pre-drop crumble layer. Duplicate the loop. High pass it harder, degrade it more, and bring it in only for the final half bar. That extra layer can make the transition collapse into the drop in a really satisfying way. It's like the sound is falling apart right before the bass returns. Huge energy. And if you want more movement without making the build obvious, try micro pitch drift instead of a dramatic pitch rise. A tiny amount of instability can feel much more authentic. It reads like worn playback rather than a cinematic effect, which is often the better choice for underground DNB. One more thing. Gain stage like you're definitely going to resample. Leave headroom. Tape style processing sounds better when the clip isn't already slammed into clipping, before the character tools even start working. Give your chain room to breathe so the saturation can add weight instead of just flattening everything. If you want to practice this properly, build three versions. Make one clean tension version with minimal saturation and strong transient preservation. Make one tape-worn version with moderate saturation, slight echo smear, and subtle drift. Then make one broken hardware version with heavier degradation, narrower bandwidth, and more aggressive resampling. Test them in both a jungle-style intro and a harder roller pre-drop. You'll learn fast which direction works best for the track.